Blog Talk Radio.
Yo!
Welcome to the war room. We got Dev, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
How you wanna end a 1 or 2 hour show and keep the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Roll with the topic, sorta like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats, the 4 for 26 saw the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table. Five Philly guys, diversified and educated.
What up, sports fans? You know what time it is, so that can only mean one thing. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports on the new WRS Podcast Network. I'm Devin McMillan, and I'm joined at the round table, as I am every week, with one of the sports guys, Jimmy the Blueprint Williams. Football is coming, everybody. So, you know, we're going to have our preliminary talks about the upcoming NFL season. We'll also talk to Fred Perdue of Heavy in the Games about college football and the scoops surrounding the individual media days. But before we talk to Fred, we got some more business to handle, so make sure you join us right now in that JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom, or you could join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports, so you can join in the conversations there. Wherever you're comfortable, just make sure you join us and join in on the conversation. You can also call us directly when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline. That number, as usual, 323-410-0012. But before we get started, got to remind you guys to check out the great shows on the War Room Sports Podcast Network. You can get there from our main site, warroomsports.com, or directly at wrspn.com. You'll find shows such as The Broad Street Line with our hosts Roy Burton and Chris Domingo, After Further Review with the Mayor, The Season Ticket with Mojo and the Fellas, and a whole lot more. You can also check the listings at fatsradio.com, P-H-A-T-Z, radio.com, for the air times of all your favorite WRSPN sports shows, because our whole network, well, all our sports shows at least, are syndicated on that network as well, and that includes us, The War Room, which you can catch over there on Sundays and Tuesdays at 3 p.m. So what's good, Jim? You heard about them rumors. J&B, the King,
yeah,
and Queen B might be calling it Splitsville.
Yeah, I hear that, man. You know, no one knows how true it is, but if it is true, I want to see how the Stanleys fight, yo, because they're amongst the top five celebrities that have Stanleys in the entire universe. I would say that top five probably consists of Jay-Z, Beyonce, LeBron James. Those are the top three. Rihanna, and who's the fifth? Who would I put at five? Possibly like Nicki Minaj.
Yeah.
They literally have people online that are like gangs, like is this Rihanna's Navy or Beehive, or you know what I'm saying? Like, so,
well,
those may be
maybe Michael Jordan too.
Yeah, he does. He's never done anything wrong. Like, you know what
yeah.
I mean? He walks
the only people like, who are against Mike are LeBron stans, because they want him to be in Mike's place. But
yeah. This is true.
I definitely get what you're saying, though, because I actually posted something on social media earlier this morning asking the question, you know, to the stands out there. I was saying, if J&B really split, you know, how are they going to divvy up the stands for the divorce proceedings? Like, how many of y'all will each of these people take custody of? You know, I just wanted to know an answer to that. You know, not too many people responded, so I guess they haven't figured out.
See,
which side they're
going. I did see a response saying they're not going to split up, you know, so you know.
Somebody's fighting hard for them to be together, so they don't have to make
yeah.
that choice. They want to go with mommy or daddy.
The actual first, yo, I don't want to choose mommy or daddy. That's out of control, yo. Yeah, so, you know, it is what it is, man. We shall see what happens, man. Yo, but ready to jump into the show, good brother?
No doubt. Shout out to, first of all, you know, shout out to all our fans and listeners out there before we get started. You know, I don't think we shout them out enough, man, because, you know, without the fans, the listeners, the watchers of the videos we do and the participators on all our social media platforms, we wouldn't still be around after almost 4 years. So salute to everybody out there who's down with War Room Sports and one way or another, man. We appreciate you. But,
yeah,
Jim.
Absolutely, everybody know? Man. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. I definitely want to give everybody a shout-out, man, because we got a lot of people that support us in everything we do, from reading our work to, like you said, watching the videos, the actual podcast, the mobile app. We put a lot of work in, but we got a lot of supporters. So shout out to everybody. But let's jump into today's show. Let's talk about what happened while you were on the grind. And those who don't know, While You Were On the Grind is brought to you by DirecTV. If you'd like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, including the NFL Sunday Ticket, oh, my God, we can't wait for football. But anyway, go to our website, warroomsports.com. Click on that DirecTV logo and order a better TV experience at a discounted War Room Sports sign-up rate. If you call yourself a sports fan, how can you not have DirecTV? Listen, man, it seems as though sports are a sports each league at this point, right? It's 24/7, 365, because with the NBA, they're in, like, camp, or summer camp, that is, and, you know, there's summer leagues going on or what have you. Football's rounding up. But it's nothing like the beginning of football season, yo. So I know you feel the same way, man. You got to have the DirecTV to enjoy that that football.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell the folks that it's going to be cheap to be a fan on that level, because it's really not. But you got to do what you got to do if you're a diehard, so.
Absolutely. And by the way, today's grind topic is a little bit different than normal. It's kind of tamed down because usually this is where we're giving out various JoJo awards. But this is a little different, you know. They behave this week in the world of sports, you know what I mean? Not a lot of TMZ going on, but let's talk about it anyway. First story, Mike Tyson, not to be confused with Tyrone Tyson, he is to present Evander Holyfield at the Nevada Hall of Fame induction. So Evander Holyfield is going into the Hall of Fame, and, you know, Mike Tyson, the gentleman who took a piece of his ear, is the actual person presenting him. What did you think about this story when you saw it?
First of all, that Tyrone Tyson reference, that's a CHS insider. Some of y'all know what he means. Some of y'all don't. This is crazy how their relationship has kind of come full circle. I'm not even going to say full circle because I don't know if they were friends in the first place before they fought a couple of times. But just to see the progress in their relationship, I mean, this is a man who was so frustrated that you were headbutting him and the fact that you were whooping his ass, decided to bite you and took a chunk of your ear. Like, he's altered your body forever. You know what I'm saying? And over the last few years, you know, Mike Tyson has been more out in the public, you know, way transparent with his life. You heard the respect straight from him that he has for this man and the kind of admiration that he has for Evander Holyfield. So you saw that their relationship had long started to mend. But it's just ironic that the guy who probably in all of Evander Holyfield's greatness and everything that he did in the ring, his most famous moment is probably getting a piece of his ear bitten off by this guy. And, you know, when you go into the Nevada State Hall of Fame, you know, because a lot of his fights were in Vegas, a lot of his big fights, like, this guy is the one that's going to present you. Like, forgiveness is a hell of a thing. Holyfield has always proclaimed to be a Christian, so I guess this is proof that he's a diehard Christian, because forgiveness is a hell of a thing.
No doubt. You know what's crazy about this, right, is these guys will be linked forever in a history book. I agree with pretty much everything you said. Tyson has a lot of respect for Evander. I mean, even in his books, he talked about how much respect he had for Evander Holyfield, the fighter, and how much admiration he had for him. So it's only right that they mend. And what you notice is throughout history, whether we're talking about Chamberlain and Russell or Magic and Bird, when guys compete at the highest level in their sport, when they're done and it's over with, they become the best of friends. Like, you look at Magic and Bird now, and it's like, yo, Magic shows Bird more respect than Worthy and Kareem. And you look at, like, Russell and Chamberlain before Chamberlain passed, and Bill Russell was, like, his best friend. Like, you know what I mean? So it's something about competing with someone at the highest level. I just definitely find it interesting with boxers, considering they their objective is to hurt each other. And
exactly.
I still find it crazy at the end of fights when they, you know, dap up.
Yo, that's the point I was about to make. I'm like, this sport is a little bit different because, I mean, a lot of fighters don't, and you can tell the ones when they go into fights when they haven't found a reason to make the fight personal. I think you can basically see that in some people's performances. So this is a sport where you have to train yourself to basically hate that guy for the 6 months or so that you're training, you know, until after the fight. And it is amazing how you can build all that up, have a knockdown, drag-out brawl with this dude, and then afterwards you can dap each other up. Now, I don't think these guys were on those type of terms after they fought, but the fact that, like I said, he altered this man's physical appearance forever and they're good friends now, that's amazing to me. So I guess it's some, you know, some hope we can have in humanity going forward, because I've lost a lot of hope in it, but...
but if you can
befriend Mike Tyson after that,
it's like we look at that, right, and that's what made sports so amazing, and it's also kind of what made Jordan the icon he is, because when you look at that in his generation, who was really his contemporary or his main rival? Like Patrick Ewing, I mean, if, year to year was someone different, so he doesn't have that person right now. When you look at sports now, what's the biggest rivalry? Like, who are we going to be looking to? Like, and I'm talking about anything. The biggest rivalry within, like, you know, boxing is Pacquiao and Floyd. They've never fought.
That's the thing. All rivalries now are contrived by fans because you know how many times, you know, we've argued with people saying, you know, what is with this LeBron versus Kobe thing? LeBron and Kobe have never played a meaningful NBA game versus each other. Never.
Yeah.
But people want to pit them against each other and make them rivals. They're really not even from the same era of basketball. And so it's crazy. Like you said, Floyd and Pacquiao, they've never fought, but their name comes up together more than anybody. Like if you just do a Google search, start putting in one of their names, the other dude's going to come up. Like it's crazy. It's all contrived these days.
But, I mean, is there any rivalries in any sports? I mean, baseball?
You still got the college football rivalries. I mean, those are probably the best ones because when you go to these schools, you're trained to not like the other school. But today in professional sports with the climate, free agency, and now where, you know, players, especially in the NBA, have more power and control than ever over their careers, there are no rivals because, you know, the biggest rivals end up playing with each other, or it's possible that they end up playing with each other. You know, LeBron James and Dwayne Wade came in the same draft class, and they're both perimeter players. So it's like they were ripe to have a nice rivalry for 15 years in the NBA. These guys have played together and won two championships together the last 4 years and call each other like butt brothers and stuff. So,
it's very interesting. I don't know, like, moving forward whether that'll exist. And, you know, we were talking about somebody today, and I know who it was. We were talking about D'Angelo Hall and DeSean Jackson, and you know how they had their so-called rivalry, and now they're like best friends. I guess when the business intersects with the actual sport, that we won't have that ever again, because you never know from year to year whether someone will be your teammate, and it's not just the players moving and cut people for salary, all kinds of reasons. So, I mean, you never know. Look at what's going on with Ryan Howard now; he's getting ready to get cut. So, I mean, it's just crazy.
Like with those two guys you mentioned last season, you know, D'Angelo horse tackles DeSean on the sideline. They get to fighting. Then when you look at it, they're fighting each other like the next five plays going forward. And supposedly DeSean Jackson is flashing gang signs at him or whatever, which caused all this controversy in the offseason. But, you know, now, hey, we're on the same team now, so we got to be cool. So, yeah, that's the climate that we're in today in sports, so we don't hear no more of this type of stuff.
I want to be nice to you and talk about fornicating with you and letting you suck my because if I was eloquent with you, you would still look at me as a scumbag.
Because Mike used to be a scumbag who bit people's ears off, and now he's like
the
friendliest dude on earth, demure Mike.
Congrats to Evander Holyfield, and you know, also salute to him for being able to, you know, take that on the chin or the ear and, you know, move further. You know, God bless both of those dudes, man. Anyway, let's talk about Carmelo Anthony, who starts a venture capital firm with Stuart Goldfarb in New York. Interesting story. It's amazing that you don't see more athletes do this, and I guess some of them do. They just make bad investments like floating furniture or what have you. But He did say in the NY area to get busy, so I guess he's getting busy. It ain't about winning championships. It's about winning the money game. What do you think about this?
You know me. Like I said, you know, there's certain perspectives that you have to look at everything from. And from a business perspective, I can't knock the hustle on what these young guys are doing. This is a great move for Carmelo Anthony. Stuart Goldfarb, a respected businessman. People may know him from NBC or Bartlesman, but the company is called M7 Tech Partners, and their first big investment is going to be in a children's media company called Hullabaloo. And it's a company that's going to offer story apps that kids touch to activate. And in this day and age with all the screens and devices, you know, this is a great investment. You know, my kid plays on my phone now on Zoodles or whatever, something that came with my phone. So something like this would be great for what he likes to do. So Melo is just taking the following that he has, especially on social media. They said he has like 5 million Twitter followers, and taking his brand and trying to take it to a new level. The thing is, when it comes to this kind of stuff, just like everything else we talk about, it depends on what the people like, who the people like and who they don't like. Because, you know, we put this out there on our social media page. We didn't get much feedback. Like, if this was LeBron and he made another business venture, like everybody would be slobbering all over LeBron about how much of a genius he is and how much of a businessman he is. He's not a businessman. He's a businessman. Yeah, we put this out there about Melo, and it was crickets. And a venture capital firm is nothing to, you know, to have crickets about. This is a really good move for him.
Absolutely, absolutely. Also, I want you guys to know we have the War Room Sports Venture Capital Firm. We invest in poppy stores and lemonade stands. But but all jokes aside, though, it's a nice move for Melo. Like I said, I'm shocked that more people don't make these sort of partnerships. You've seen a lot of more. Well, first of all, athletes are a lot more business savvy now. But, you know, like you said, there's a flip side to that. When athletes become more business savvy, it seems as though the game suffers a little bit. You know, I don't know if there's a direct correlation, but it just seems that way. It seems as the athletes recognize their power and start to use their brand and start to use, you know, their following or what have you to generate revenue and create jobs that the game suffers. So it's a good thing because at the end of the day, in this country, we need more jobs. So salute to Melo. Hey. In terms of what this means from a sports perspective, who knows? I mean, I don't think the Knicks are going to win anything anyway, but I don't know how much attention he's going to actually get to this or whether he's a financial partner. Who knows what the actual arrangement is, but the fact of the matter is, yo, you can't shoot hoops off for the rest of your life and you can't sell dope forever, so you got to set that up.
Exactly.
You can't sell furniture.
And the best thing that these guys can do is, you know, just have a great team around them so when they make these kind of moves and create these kind of partnerships, you know, business can flow while you're still handling your business on the court, you know, for the next 10 years or so before you start to do this stuff full time. So shout out to the brothers making moves, you know, from my fan perspective. I hope it doesn't affect the game, you know, but we'll see.
So absolutely. Yo, real quick, though, this has nothing to do with anything we're talking about, but dude, that commercial for the Hercules movie is probably terrible. Yo, but them scenes with the snakes and the lion and the animals, yo, that looks crazy.
Yeah, the thing that I keep noticing is how, like, the Rock is, like, dribbling grown men off the ground like he's in a basketball game. Like, he grabbed this dude by his back and, like, had the dude horizontal on the air and just, like, dribbled him, and he bounced back up into his hand like he was going to cross him over. I'm like, how are you that strong that you can dribble another man?
And I know the movie is probably the worst thing ever. It's probably the worst thing ever, but based upon just those scenes, I just want to see that one scene with the lion. That looks crazy.
I mean, Dwayne Johnson is the lead, so that already gives you an idea.
Yeah, it's not going to be the best acting movie, but it's going to be a lot of action, man. So you know, I had to bring it up real quick. Let's move on to the next story. Let's talk about some people's modern-day Hercules, at least his sycophants. LeBron Raymond James apologized to his neighbors with cupcakes. There's a lot of attention going on in this block, a lot of media vans, and a whole circus. He wanted to apologize to his neighbors in Akron, and he did so with cupcakes. What's your opinion is good, brother?
I think it was a really good gesture by LeBron's camp. You know, I'm taking a shot. You know, as I said, camp. It could have been his idea, but like you said, you know, it was a whole lot going on in that neighborhood surrounding him possibly coming back. Traffic jams, people out in the street drawing, acting a fool, sitting on lawns and stuff like that. So the co-owner of this baker, Boulevard Decadent Desserts, we said your name on air, now cut the check, said LeBron and his family placed an order for 70 dozen cupcakes. 65 of those were delivered to his neighbors, and 5 were delivered to the Bath Township Police Department because, you know, they're the ones that had to deal with all this madness. They said it came with a card that read, "Dear friend, we know things have been hectic in our neighborhood these past few weeks, and we're sorry for the chaos. We are so thankful to live in this wonderful community, and we're blessed to have understanding neighbors like you." So, you know, a few of his neighbors spoke. One of them said, like, as long as he's been here, and I think it was like 2003, he said, "I've only really seen LeBron James once, but, you know, it was a good gesture, and he thinks he's a cool dude." I thought it was nice. If somebody knocks on my door and gives me a dozen cupcakes, like, I'm a greedy dude, so you've won me over already. So I can see how people would, even if they were disturbed by everything that was going on, you can just let it go now. He did something to apologize, so that's cool.
Yeah, this is true. Who doesn't like cupcakes? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yo, if you don't like cupcakes, you're not American. You're probably a terrorist, and you probably watch Al Jazeera. But, you know.
And you practice BBR.
While LeBron lives on your block, right, you got to deal with it. Just quote what you said. LeBron living on your block, you probably have to deal with a lot more than an average block. But at the end of the day, I bet you your property value is higher as well just by him being on your block. You know what I'm saying? By LeBron living on your block, the value of your property is increased. So,
and the fact that he took his land and built a 30,000 square foot mansion on the joint.
Yeah, definitely overimproved, but, you know.
So your 3,000 square foot joint just went up by like 500 grand.
Yeah, no doubt. So shout out to LeBron's neighbor. Shout out to Savannah. Shout out to LeBron and the family. You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to
nice
Maverick
guest.
Carter and them for the idea.
Yeah. Yo, it's funny, though, because let me tell you something. When Maverick Carter first took over as LeBron's, like, you know, businessman or agent, whatever you want to call him, I know there were a lot of speculation, a lot of things, but the more and more I read some of his writings, I've listened to him in interviews, and I'm very impressed with the gentleman. You know, I've got to put that out there because he's a young brother doing his thing. So shout out to Maverick Carter, yo. Yeah, I'm saying,
probably
I'm not
doesn't get enough credit. He probably doesn't get enough credit.
Yeah, I'm definitely
like
not a hater.
When he got hired, it was like, oh, this dude hiring his friends. Hiring his entourage.
And I was
different.
Skeptical, too. Like, who wouldn't be skeptical? But at the end of
the
day, the like, you show improved.
His entourage, his entourage isn't like an Allen Iverson entourage. Like,
that's what we're exposed to. Growing up in Philly, when you say his friends and entourage, we're used to, like, Bubba Chuck. You know what I'm saying? We used to Crew Thick. That's what we used to. We used to Crew Thick, so, you know what I mean? Like,
LeBron put his entourage through college. And told them, go get that knowledge, and then we're going to form up as a team.
Yeah, LeBron's entourage has knowledge itself. Now, here's a story. I don't know whether this is JoJo award worthy, but it's amazing. It's great.
It damn sure is, man.
It's trifling, terrible, amazing, great, all at the same damn time. Cleveland Brown, man. This gentleman went to visit the grave of Art Modell. Former Cleveland Browns owner, you know, moved the team to Baltimore to create the Ravens, yada, yada, yada. Fans of Cleveland still hate him, although it's damn near 15, 20 years ago. But this Cleveland Browns fan, and this is recorded, went to the grave of Art Modell and literally took a piss on his grave.
Yo.
He went there with an Ed Reed jersey on, so they thought it was going to be like, you know, him paying respects, tore it off, had a Cleveland Browns jersey, and proceeded to urinate on the gentleman's grave.
Dude had a catheter and a tube hanging down his leg and leaked on this man's gravesite.
Yeah, now, and I know that fan is short for fanatic, but Yeah, what did you think about this?
Man, this is an example of people taking sports too seriously. Now, you know, I grew up, you know, in the city that we're from. I'm a diehard fan of all the teams. I probably would be disappointed or would have been disappointed had they moved the team out of the city. They talked about it a lot growing up. They were going to move the Eagles to Camden and move this there in Jersey and move that there in Jersey, which wasn't like moving from Cleveland to Baltimore. You know, you could still root in your area. It wouldn't have been the same thing. But I don't see myself ever being that upset. And you know, as Philadelphia fans, we take a bad rap for anything. So, you know, if this was a Philly fan and they did this, the whole fan base would be indicted off the actions of one man. So I'm going to go ahead and be status quo with it and say, see, Cleveland, this is why y'all don't win anything. This is why you don't deserve anything. This is why LeBron shouldn't have come back. And this, you don't do something like that, man. It's not that serious. This man, he's somebody, well, was somebody's grandfather, father, brother, because of something that you're really not invested in. Like, this team could care less whether or not you were a fan of them. You're going to go to make a trip to somebody's grave and record yourself urinating on that man's grave. Is that illegal, first of all? Because people are putting too much on the internet these days.
But
like, is he going to get arrested over this?
No, I found it to be amazing that someone had the gonads to go do that. Like, what the hell is wrong with you?
Yo,
it's obvious.
I was watching it like none.
He gets no moisture. He has no life. That's ridiculous. I guess without further ado, we couldn't get through the grind topics without this. So this gentleman.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
I don't know. I didn't want to beat him. I could just go ahead and take it safe to say that he wins the JoJo award because he literally did. This is something that you say to someone, I piss on your grave, you know, and jest. But at the end of the day, like, yo, he really did it. Like, yo, Arnold Dell doesn't know you. He doesn't owe you anything. FOH, man.
And then he put it online, made himself findable. Art Modell's family got enough money to get you offed.
Yo, the crazy part is the dirty-ass Cleveland Brown fans, like, co-sign him. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like,
yo,
man.
That's too much hatred in your heart, man. Too much hatred in your heart.
Yo, man, straight up, man. That's ridiculous, man. At any rate, man, that's what happened while you were on the grind this past week. It's time to do what we do in terms of giving the birthday shout-outs for this week.
All right, so let's give a few birthday shout-outs. And birthdays are brought to you by Dr. Monique Roll of Alexandria Podiatry Associates. For the best and comprehensive treatment of injuries to the foot, ankle, and lower extremities, even if you just got ugly-ass feet, visit Dr. Monique Roll of Alexandria Podiatry Associates, treating patients in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area and beyond. Notice the beyond part. She's all over social media, so you can get your questions answered, and you never know where you can be seen, so don't, you know, think you're limited just because she's in the DMV area. Just visit alexandriapodiatry.org or call 703-379-0700. She also just started a YouTube page. You can get that information on our social media networks. But when you get in touch with her, whether it's calling the office, going to the YouTube page, going to her Twitter account, just make sure you tell them that War Room Sports sent you.
It's my birthday. Yay!
All right, birthdays. Want to give a birthday shout-out to former Titan safety. He spent some time with the Philadelphia Eagles. He was on that team that made a Super Bowl run but didn't get it done against the Patriots. He turns 44 today. The homie, Rick Fox. Some of y'all might get that. Rick Fox turns 45 today.
Yo,
shout
I
out
to get
Rick
that
Fox.
From the game, yo, Rick Fox.
Barry Bonds, the all-time home run leader, if you recognize him as so. The slugger turns 50 today. Carl Malone turns 51. Shout out to the mailman. And we want to give a rest in peace shout out to one NBA legend, Mr. Walt Bellamy. July 24th, 1939 is when he was born. 11-2, November 2nd, 2013 is when he passed. The crazy thing about it is, you know, because I wasn't really around to see that era, but my greatest, I can't say memory because I didn't see it, but my thought every time I hear Walt Bellamy's name is because Wilt Chamberlain gave him the business every time they played. And I only know this because of the slander that we get from fans about Wilt Chamberlain. We're constantly doing Wilt Chamberlain research. And in that research, you know, I kind of found out Wilt's numbers against every center that he played against, his individual numbers game by game. Man, he used to put Walt Bellamy over his knee, but that's not what this is about, man. Shout out to Walt Bellamy on his birthday. So, rest in peace, good brother.
On that note, though, yo, it's funny because
I think Wilt killed
Wilt him. Wilt definitely made him his son, but Walt Bellamy was an amazing player and an amazing center, and people always say, Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell only played with 6'5" white guys. No.
Couldn't be.
Walt
no
Bellamy was
farther from
the left. Some people have him as tall as 7 foot, but you know, his official size is 6'11", and he was a 20-14 guy. His career average is 20-14, not a season. His career average is 20-14. So,
not a game.
You know, come on.
Not a game.
Yeah, not a game. That's his
career.
His career average, you know what I'm saying, 20-14, definitely one of the all-time great players and also a gold medalist. So shout out to Walt Bellamy. And the fact that I know all this is strictly due to Wilt Chamberlain research.
Wilt Chamberlain research. I know about every big from back in that era. And the thing is, people say that if you do the average size of centers from that era and this era, they might be bigger. In that era.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure of it. I think we've done that as well. And it's just crazy how a few people say something and then everybody else just latches on to that as if it's true. And even when you show them proof, you know, they want to be in denial. So if anybody out there has that thought that we just said, go ahead, just let us know. Go on our Facebook page, let us know that that's what you believe, and we can show you this list of 30 more players. Like
so
6'10", 6'11", and up.
You. All I'm saying is
yeah,
this, right?
Because we got it ready because we've had this argument 60,000 times.
People who don't know
times.
About Walt Bellamy, put it like this. If not for Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell, Walt Bellamy's name would be big. I mean, as a rookie, listen to this. As a rookie, he put up 31.6 and 19 rebounds. As a rookie. That's the, I mean, 31 and 19 as a rookie. I mean,
he's giving out job applications.
Although Wilt averaged 38 and 27 as a rookie. I mean, but still, that's my point. It's not for the dumb, nice numbers that Wilt put up. Walt Bellamy's name will ring bells more than it actually does. But anyway, man, rest in peace to Walt Bellamy.
All right.
Understand that Michael Jordan didn't get the game. There's always been great players. Also,
oh, no.
Joe Barry Carroll, his name was brought up in our chat room. Are you saying it's his birthday, KC Mack, or are you saying that he's also a great player? But anyway.
All right. We got to give a nice big war room salute to all of these gentlemen on their birthdays. You guys can check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message about the company, our show, to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. Also, you can email there if you'd like to write, if you want to be a blogger for our site. We've been getting a lot of people writing in about that. We are searching for bloggers, so, you know, hit us up, info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, though, click on the memorabilia tab. You can buy War Room Sports merchandise. Click the blog tab to read our latest articles in the All's Fair in Sports and War blog. Then you can click the respective icons and tabs to like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to our iTunes podcast, watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com. You can listen to the network at wrspn.com, and you can download the free War Room Sports mobile app so you can get everything I just mentioned on the go, on demand, anytime you need it. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To enter the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't have one or if you don't want one, you can also sign in through your Facebook and Twitter accounts. And while you're there, on that page. Make sure you click follow so you can get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room during the show. But if you want to call in and speak to us directly, you can dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. And we're going to get into some hot topics because we're going to have our college football guru, Fred Perdue from HeavyInTheGames.com. He's going to be on closer to the top of the hour, maybe 5 minutes prior. It depends on when we get finished with this little conversation about Tony Dungy and what he said. But right after we talk about that, we'll get Fred on to talk about these media days that's been going on in college football. It's been a lot of interesting stories coming out of those media days, so I can't wait to hear his take on that. But, Jimmy, Hot Topics. Let everybody know who Hot Topics are brought to them by.
Absolutely. If your schedule is too hectic to read as much as you want, try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you have to do is visit Audible and sign up for your free trial. That's audibletrial.com/warroomsports. In no time, you can be listening to the latest bestsellers, hands-free and stress-free. You get an absolute free book. I said free, F-R-E-E. Who doesn't love anything free? audibletrial.com/warroomsports. I just finished up the Sugar Ray Leonard book and wrote a great review that you can find on our blog or on our mobile app, because I know you got our mobile app. Listen to a couple other books, but I'm probably going to start a new sports book in the upcoming week, and you'll hear about that on next week's show. But go check out my blog, and also audibletrial.com/warroomsports get you a free book. Let's go.
Booyah. All right. The Kevin Love sweepstakes are heating up. We know ever since LeBron came back to Cleveland, his name has been linked with Kevin Love. We know the Cleveland Cavaliers want to get him there to team him up with LeBron James, Kyrie Irving. And at first, Cleveland weren't really keen on giving up on number one pick Andrew Wiggins. But now they're a little more open to it, and their offer that's sitting on the table right now is number one pick Andrew Wiggins, number one pick from last year Anthony Bennett, a future first-round pick as well. But there's two other teams who want to get into this mix as well, and one of those teams is the Golden State Warriors. The Golden State Warriors are offering a package of Harrison Barnes, David Lee, and Klay Thompson for Kevin Love. And then you have the Chicago Bulls, who've thrown their hats into the ring, and they are offering Taj Gibson, Nikola Mirotic, and Doug McBuckets, Doug McDermott, who was just drafted by the team. Of these three, I mean, who do you think has the upper hand? Not really because of who they're offering. Who do you think has the upper hand just because of where Kevin Love might want to sign a long-term deal? And then, Jimmy, you could tell me who you think has the who's offering the best package.
Yeah, it's interesting you put the question that way. He seems to want to go to Cleveland. I mean,
right.
He's mentioned signing a long-term deal with Cleveland. That offer from Golden State is strong, though. Like, it's a very strong offer. It's a very strong offer that has to be considered. But, you know, also you got to look at this. Playing in the Eastern Conference, you have a chance to automatically, you know, be right there in terms of, you know, competing for a championship right away.
Right.
It's difficult. Where will he go? And also with the Andrew Wiggins, I just heard a rumor that he signed today with Cleveland, and part of that is they can't trade him for 30 days.
For 30 days, yeah.
So that's kind of, you know, man.
I don't think the 30 days would be that big of a problem, you know, considering they're in the off season. I don't know if they would be in a rush to make a decision. But the way I see it, you know, because we phrased the question a certain way, but I actually think it's what Kevin Love might want versus what Minnesota may want. Because like you just said, Jimmy, that offer from Golden State, is, in comparison to the other ones, that offer is kind of great. It's out of sight. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Klay Thompson, Harrison Barnes, and David Lee, who, you know, David Lee, when completely healthy and maybe 4 years younger, in my opinion,
could be just as good as Kevin Love. He was a guy who always put up a lot of stats. They were basically meaningless stats, kind of like what Kevin Love, and I'm a Kevin Love fan. I don't want anybody to think I'm bashing him, but that's kind of what he's been doing in Minnesota. But most star players in Minnesota, that ends up being your MO. You're putting up a bunch of meaningless numbers. Not only is the deal, the offer, a good one from Golden State, but the lore is pretty good too, because we know that Kevin Love is from California. So that's something that he has to think about, you know?
Definitely. It's going to be interesting to see. I think it's hilarious in terms of this big sweepstakes for Kevin Love, because I think he is a great player. Do I think he's a number one option? Absolutely not. But I think on the right team, he can definitely do some damage and help win a championship. So it's going to be interesting, that whole Golden State versus Cleveland thing, because that offer is very strong. And like you said, he's still going to have pieces left in Golden State. But they're also in the West, and then you're competing with some of the best teams. That's what I'm saying. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the whole fact of how each team, in with regard to their whole Wiggins, because coming into this season, there was talk of Wiggins being one of the all-time greats. You know what I mean? And also,
yeah,
if you're Cleveland now, on the flip side, what do you think about them? Should they make the move for Love now, or try to hold on to Wiggins and see if he could be that piece?
I'm like, me as a 76ers fan, that's who I wanted in the draft. I mean, I wanted Andrew Wiggins in the draft and no one else. So, you know, I think a franchise would be kind of foolish to deal him at this point, but Cleveland's in a different situation because you got LeBron James back, who left you already. I don't think he'll leave again, but you know he does have that opt-out after 1 year, and he only has a two-year deal. So Cleveland's feeling a lot of pressure to put a team around LeBron that can win right now, because they don't want him to get disgusted. They don't want him to get overwhelmed again and possibly bolt. Like I said, I don't think he would ever do that again, but we don't know with LeBron. Everything he's done has been a little bit unpredictable when it comes to where he's going to play. Exactly. So I see their dilemma. Like anybody else, they're not really looking at, okay, well, I don't care what's going to happen 5-10 years down the road. Like, he could end up being an all-time great. We have the best player in the league right now in the midst of his prime. You know, he just won a few championships, so, you know, he knows what it takes to do it. So if we could put a couple of pieces around him, which is why supposedly he left in the first place, because we weren't doing enough to get other star players around him, you know, we have to do what we have to do at this moment. So Cleveland is in a very, very tight situation right now. And though I wouldn't – and I don't think they would want to give up on Andrew Wiggins, you know, because at first they weren't. And now somebody probably had to talk sense into somebody else in the front office, like, yo, we got to do what this dude says right now. And if LeBron James wants this guy, and if it takes that guy to get him, he's gone.
You brought up the fact that you're a Sixers fan and you wanted them to get Wiggins. Why aren't we hearing more about the Sixers with all those damn picks? Kind of like getting in the three-way trade, because they have a young team. They got some pieces. Think about it. You could possibly get in there with some of them picks and, you know, do a three-way deal where, you know, Cleveland gets Love and Minnesota gets some pieces to start over with.
I would find it very difficult to believe that they haven't tried. You know,
okay.
And that's where you lose a lot of fans, because, you know, we hear that, because I know that question came up because you've been hearing Sixers fans, you know, kind of bashing the team for not doing that. But, you know, everybody makes it seem like it's so easy. Because we haven't heard doesn't mean they haven't tried. Usually we won't even hear about anything unless there's some progress made. So if the Sixers came in with an offer and Cleveland and the third team said FOH, then, you know, there's nothing left that they can do. So it's like kind of difficult. I mean, because I've seen fans get upset with teams for not, quote-unquote, trying before, and then 4 months afterwards you find out how close they were to getting in on a deal, or this guy was almost a member of this team, and the fans didn't even know that they were going for him like that. So, you know,
this is true.
I will find it hard to believe that any team with any you know, with any kind of assets to give up, having at least given Cleveland a call.
All right, we got a comment on Twitter from at KCMac38. He says LeBron doesn't even want to play with Wiggins. He didn't even mention him in his letter. I don't know whether he wants to play with him, but I did find it interesting when I read the letter that he didn't. He mentioned everybody else by name and didn't mention Wiggins. So I can't also see how he wouldn't want to play with the guy. I mean, it's not like he – I mean, unless he played with him, you know, on the playground or in or some tournament. So I can't see why he wouldn't want to play with a guy, you know.
Yeah, plus but, I think they were you know, already keen on moving Wiggins to the two. I understand they play the same position. He's mentioned as being the next you. I mean, it might be a little bit of animosity there, but LeBron doesn't have to look over his shoulder. And, you know, Wiggins was going to do his A-Rod thing. Like, A-Rod came to New York. Jeter was the shortstop, even though A-Rod was probably the better player at that point. A-Rod had to take third base. Like, LeBron's here. So you're either going to play out of your position or you ain't going to play.
Fuck your drugs and ruin your name. But,
so yeah,
you know,
it is. I don't know. I would. It would, like, if I was LeBron, it would interest me to play with the dude for a year and see what was up. Because if it's a situation where if Kevin Love really wants to come there, then he'll be a free agent next year. Might be a little bit easier to get him and still hold on to some of your younger pieces, you know, until their contracts are up and they're looking for big money. But at the same time, like I said, the pressure on Cleveland is to do everything right this second. And I don't think LeBron would have made that decision 100% if he didn't already know that they had some things up their sleeve to get somebody on the team this year. LeBron went out and said what he had to say. Yeah, I know we're not ready to win right now, but I think that's BS. That was just something for his sycophants to hold on to. Like, what are y'all going to say now? He's not super teaming. They don't have blah, blah, blah. But they're about to get Kevin Love. They have Kyrie Irving. That's a hell of a – I mean, that's a better trio at the moment than the one he would have been playing with next year in Miami. Not a better trio in their prime when he first went there, but – yeah, yeah, keep that stuff in mind. Now, they're just under pressure to win right now, so they're going to do what they have to do to appease this dude.
Absolutely.
All right, so we'll see. We'll keep an eye out on that situation. But like you said, Jim, that Golden State deal, like, whew. Yeah, I don't think when you compare those, like, I would say the Golden State deal just totally put Chicago out of the mix. That would be my opinion.
Todd
Gibson is a nice player. McDermott could be a nice shooter in this league. But come on, man. Clay Thompson. Yeah, yeah. That Golden State deal is serious. But it's like, is Golden State willing to make that deal without a long-term commitment? That's the problem. I don't think any of those teams are willing to do that without a long-term commitment from Love. So it's going to get interesting. Like, the NBA is going to keep themselves in the news, even, you know, with the NFL season coming up. What about LeBron? He went on social media last week, Twitter and Instagram, asking fans what jersey number should he wear in Cleveland. Should he wear 23 or 6? Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I thought LeBron went to 6 in the first place because he was one of the people advocating for Michael Jordan's jersey to be retired all over the league. So
yeah.
I don't understand where the question is coming from. Is this just another ploy for some attention, or would
LeBron
he really consider going back to 23?
He basically went to social media and was like, yo.
Roll with us, because you know we got it. Roll with us, because you know we got it. We got it.
Yo, but, yo, shout out to whoever it was on our page. I think it was Andy from the Sports Kings. He was like, why don't he just combine the two and go with 29?
new chapter in his life.
And that's another thing. Like, listen, you got that one chapter in your life where you were 23, you know, coming into your own, growing up, to 6 when you made this. You know, I would switch all together and get a third number, but you can't go back to 23 regardless, man, because, like you said, you're the one that lobbied that number should be retired all across the league. And also, too,
right,
you allow Cleveland fans to bring out their old jerseys and not cop up some new ones. You know your sponsors don't want that. They want all new sales, B. You got to
exactly
get a new number.
So the best thing he can do.
There's not a 6 Cleveland one.
Exactly. The best thing he can do is either a new number or go to six, because the windfall of people going to the sporting goods store to buy this jersey, you know, and he gets a piece of that, that's going to just be more chips for his empire. So that's why I think the question wasn't even that serious. I just think it was just him trying to reach out to his fans, you know, because LeBron is still on this damage control thing from the decision 4 years ago. I think he just wants his fans to feel like they're, you know, they're close to him. So you talk to them every once in a while. You make them think they're important, like they're helping you make a major decision. But I see no way of him going back to 23 and allowing people to just rest on jerseys that they've already purchased for the ones who haven't burned them. So I would, if it's between the two, I would say no doubt he's going to six. But like we said earlier, LeBron James is the most unpredictable.
Yo, I'm laughing at
KC Maxwell. Ever.
He said he should just wear number 45.
Yo. Or that would be interesting.
That's hilarious.
That would be funny, though.
That would be funny, but oh my God, could you imagine, like, oh man, all the Jordan fans? Oh man.
Yeah, why you got it? Yeah.
That would be out of control.
Let's wrap about this. This is one of the bigger stories, especially earlier in the week. Talk about this for, you know, a good few minutes before we get Fred Perdue on the line. Tony Dungy had some, well, he, you know, of course, like everybody's being asked questions about the whole Michael Sam situation. So Tony Dungy was quoted as saying, I wouldn't have taken him. Not because I don't believe Michael Sam should have a chance to play, but I wouldn't want to deal with all of it. It's not going to be totally smooth. Things will happen. Then he said, I do not believe Michael's sexual orientation will be a distraction to his teammates or his organization. This was a later statement after the firestorm started. He said, I do, however, believe that the media attention that comes with it will be a distraction. Unfortunately, we're all seeing this play out now, and I feel badly that my remarks played a role in the distraction. Now, Tony is being called, Jimmy, all kinds of hypocrites because they're saying, you know, he's not holding his flag up for Sam. He's not, you know, standing for him when he stood for Mike Vick when he came back from his doing his bid for dogfighting or whatever. So people are kind of calling him to the carpet for that. So what do you think were the intentions, if any, of his comments? Do you look at it like the people that are slamming him, or did he have a point that you kind of got from what he said?
It's interesting, man. First off, shout out to Sid Ziegler, who's a friend of the show, who runs Outsports.com, who kind of like went off on Dungy about this whole thing. And because here's the thing, like, I hate the analogy when you talk about civil rights or even human rights, when you talk about race versus, you know, your sexual orientation.
Well, yeah.
But now here's the thing, though. If this was, you know, 1959 and you says, well, I don't want to draft a black player because of all the distraction it brings, you know, we would be up in arms. Now, I'm not making that comparison because I think it's two separate things, but I understand that, you know, the struggle.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, is that man not allowed to speak his mind? Tony Dungy right now is not in a position of power. So him just speaking and giving an opinion is not the same as an executive who currently holds that seat who's saying these things. I mean,
right. He's
giving his opinion. If his opinion is that, that's what it is. Like, listen, I understand that everyone doesn't like me based upon, you know, race or what have you. But I don't care. As long as you're not in a position of power and you can't do anything to exercise your feelings, I really don't care. Because that's the thing about being racist that people don't realize. If you look at being racist, if you look at the definition of being racist, you have to have power and exercise it to be a racist. You can be a bigot, you can be prejudiced, but you're not racist unless you have the power and you exercise it. So therefore, I don't look at it the same way a lot of people do. He's giving his opinion. And the fact of the matter is there are some people who just don't agree with the lifestyle. I'm not one of them. I can care less. What you do is your business.
Right.
But, you know, it is what it is.
But what's interesting is, like you said, Jim, like, it's difficult to speak your mind these days. But a lot of other people speak their mind by their actions, because as it's been noted plenty of times in this story, 31 other teams obviously thought the same thing, because this is the SEC Defensive Player of the Year, and here we are in the seventh round, and no team has taken him, including the Rams, you know, until that point. He was almost Mr. Irrelevant in this draft, and, you know, that's saying a lot. So, you know, the Rams did take a big burden on their hand as far as distraction potential and all of this. And I look at it, see, Tony Dungy is kind of being persecuted for, you know, his comments and thoughts of the past. Everybody knows he's a devout Christian. I even heard things out there about him donating to a charity that were basically against gays or something like that. I'm not sure how true that is. But we all know how Christians think. That's why when people try to make the comparison of, well, he stood up for Michael Vick versus standing up for Michael Sam, as a Christian, and he didn't even say this himself, I'm just saying, if we're just going to take this man at face value with his religious beliefs, then I don't understand how anyone wouldn't understand the difference, because in religion, you know, homosexuality is looked at a certain way from the people who are just strict with their Bible teachings or whatever. But helping a guy like Michael Vick, who's done something wrong, committed a sin, and, you know, did his time or whatever, he's trying to help rehabilitate that man. I can see the difference in that, but I don't even think that's what it was about. I truly think that Tony Dungy was saying, as a coach or as an executive, you know, if I was still in the league in that capacity, I just don't know that a seventh-round linebacker is worth all the fuss that we have to go through with him being on the team. Jimmy, I think that was his only point. And that's what I think everybody's overlooking. Everybody's making it about Michael Sam being gay. Like, if it was something different, if Michael Sam wasn't gay, but Michael Sam, like, looked like Rocky Dennis or had some kind of disease, he was a leper on the football field.
This is not
or
a match.
Just anything that would bring crazy media attention. Michael Sam had a sex tape with Kim Kardashian or something like that. What he's asking is this seventh-round talent, you know, who people basically gave bad grades to in the combine. He was kind of overweight. He had to lose 13 pounds between his senior year and now. Is that worth the distraction of all the cameras that's going to be here because this seventh-round pick is dating or having sex tapes with Kim Kardashian? So if you
now,
look at it that way
and try to take the
homosexuality thing out of it, that's my next point. But you can't take that out, and people are going to look at whatever point they feel like looking at, and that's just the chance you take when you say something.
Here's the thing. I just said I don't like you know, the comparisons between race and this, but at the end of the day, they're both depressed groups. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you flip that and say, well, he's saying I couldn't draft a black guy in the seventh round because, you know, because he's African-American and that's just a distraction, it will be looked at a different way.
But even in that situation, to compare it, Jim, it would still have to be a situation where the person's not actually saying because he's an African-American. It would just have to be what African-Americans deem to be, quote-unquote, obvious. Like, well, everybody in the league is white, so he don't want to draft this dude because he's black. So people have to come to their own conclusions.
But my problem is that's his opinion. Like, yo, here's the thing about it, right? People get mad at racists. It's not illegal to be racist, yo. It's just not. It's not illegal to be prejudiced. It's just not. Yo, people are going to judge you based upon that. Now, again, like I said, when they're put in a position of power, that's when it becomes a problem. But for someone to give their opinion and to have all this backlash, like I disagree with it now, Tony Dungy is like a Bible thumper. I read his book, and it was actually an excellent book other than, you know, him wanting to be Moses. But you know, so I can see where you're coming from in terms of tying his religion into this. And I'm not even going to say, I mean, because you can use that book to justify anything. I'm not trying to get into a religious debate, but you know, at the end of the day, there are certain sensitivities there, and you have to recognize that when you speak, and also when your words have power. Tony Dungy is still a powerful person within the sport, although he's not in a position right now. So, you know, you still have to recognize what you say when you, when you're Tony Dungy. Like, I can get away with saying certain things that he can't. You know what I mean? So, right. Tony, this, you should have hit me up, and I would have spoke for you, King.
I mean, it's the, like, you're right, though. It's like whatever group it is that, you know, this person that's getting the attention belongs to, they're going to be sensitive about things. I mean, we've been doing this for 4 years, so we see how people act when, say, for instance, people say this black quarterback isn't as good as his counterparts and this and that, so everybody automatically makes that a black and white thing. So even when I come on and say, okay, such and such is not that good, you know, really he's a borderline bum, then I'm selling out because I'm not supposed to say anything negative about any black quarterbacks or black players because I'm black, you know, which is bogus. So it's the sensitivities of the groups that have been used to being oppressed. So, you know, you can kind of understand that. You understand why people pull the race card. You understand why the gay and lesbian community are really on edge about what we think about anybody that's gay in sports, whether or not we think it because they're gay, or this is what we objectively think about their game. I get it. I understand it. But, you know, in this case, I just think dude was giving his opinion, and I don't know, like, if I'm in that position of power, if I wouldn't be questioning the same thing. Like, is all of this stuff that we're about to go through, all of these extra people that's going to be at training camp with, you know, recorders and iPhones and microphones and all that kind of stuff, all the questions we're going to have to ask, like, we're going to be answering most of our questions about our seventh round pick. That's kind of where I think he was coming from. But
yeah, now, but again, the whole thing to me is the position of power, right? Now, this was an executive who was currently sitting and had an option that said that kind of changes everything. But the fact of the matter is that he doesn't have that position of power. Now, his like I said before, his words do hold weight. But he's not in a position of power where he can say, this is the difference between, say, what happened with Donald Sterling and also what Tony Dungy said. Like, even with Donald Sterling, I think it's crazy because he was in the comfort of his own home and the privacy issue was a thing to me. But at the end of the day, he's in a position of power. He's right. Actively in a position of power. So the things he says can be looked at completely different. If someone asked me my opinion of drafting Michael, like, I'm not in a position of power, I mean, you know, within that industry, other than me, you know, being an Ishtaki talker. So, again, that's what has to happen. We have a comment in the chat room, depends on what happens at camp. He's the last D lineman on the team, so his chances are slim anyway. So now the question becomes, what if he doesn't even make the team? Then what? Are the Rams forced
at this point? At this point? You see what happens every time anybody says anything negative about him. The Rams would have a lot of cojones to cut this dude.
If you're the head coach and the lineman,
I'm thinking this dude is going to be on special teams at least, regardless of what happens. He can stink to join up. He's going to be on special teams.
How do you give him a fair grade? Is it like the affirmative action pick? Like, you know what I mean? Is that what it is now?
It has to be something. I mean, because, you know, they're not going to be on, like, Hard Knocks or anything. So we're not going to be privy to this meeting. But if he doesn't play well, you know this meeting is going to – somebody's going to say words similar to, now, do you really think – you know, do you really think we should cut this guy, you know, with all the attention that it's going to get? Like, that's going to be a thought.
Well, let me ask you this question. This is not even my question, but it's actually a statement that's in our chat room. Shout out to Hibachi Naj. I think I'm pronouncing it correct. He said it'll be a practice squad guy. Look how much weight he had to lose to give himself a chance. If he makes a team but they put him on a practice squad, is that enough? Or does he have to be there Sunday suited up?
That's a good question. I mean, maybe we would have to get Sid on to ask him that question. But I'm just thinking as sensitive as the subject is, I think people want to see him suited up on the sideline to even try to justify, you know, all the trouble, all the hoopla that's followed this story. That's a really good question though, because he says He says
that is a great
squad,
question. I don't have the answer to that either,
special
but
teams
I,
at least. But,
yeah. Hibachi Nodge, I'm not sure whether you are a member already, but definitely go join our Facebook page, facebook.com/warroomsports.
Yeah, because they're going to be asking questions about this.
Yeah, we're going to put that question on there later this evening or tomorrow because that's a great question. You know, I don't know what the answer is because, you know, I don't know what's enough. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, you're supposed to be judged upon your talent, but it's so much more, which is why Tony Dungy said what he said. But, again, you know, it's not all great because, as Tony Dungy, you have to recognize who you are and your standing within the football community and understand the backlash that comes with that. But he's a man of faith, so I honestly don't think he cares.
Yeah, he's not crying about it, so I don't think he's, you know, sitting around like, dang, I'm just, you know, like, whatever. You're a public figure now. You say things, and some people are going to like what you say. Some people are not going to like what you say, but I'm glad that
he should have just wrote it on Twitter and then said somebody hacked him, like all other cowards did.
No doubt. All right, well, let's switch gears a little bit. Let's get into some college football because we got our college football guru waiting on the line. So we're going to go to Fred Perdue of Heavy in the Games. Fred, what's going on, brother?
What's going on, fellas? Long time no speak. How y'all doing?
Man, welcome back, beloved. How are you,
son? Season is about to start.
I'm good, man. I'm good.
Hold on. Before we get started on college football, man, how you feel about LeBron leaving Miami, man?
Well, as a Miami Heat fan, I have to say I'm a little upset, but I'm like this. We won titles. We won a title without him. It was great having him for two titles. I wish him the best in Cleveland. It's going to be tough sledding up there if he doesn't get Kevin Love, but
Are you a Cavaliers fan now or no?
Never. I'm still a Miami Heat fan. I am not going anywhere.
Just got to check.
It's cool, though, because a lot of seats just opened up. So
I might have to get some season tickets.
I know you were
going down in price.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, because I know you used to go to the games anyway, but now it'll be an easier trek for you. You know, to go down there and get you some good seats, some better seats, because all the tickets are becoming open. But
all,
man,
of the Miami Heat fans in quotations are gone. Thank
no
you.
No doubt. Listen, man, this the college football media day. I've been hearing so many stories coming out of these media sessions, and you know, some controversial, some just straight up funny. What do you have for us this evening, man? Let us know what's been going on.
Well, SEC Media Day was last week, and SEC Media Day in Hoover, Alabama, every year is the beginning. We all know college football season and football season in general is right around the corner. And, of course, you always have Spurrier being Spurrier. It's it's the highlight of the whole event. Simply put, Steve Spurrier always – the South Carolina head coach always says something out just – off the wall, and this year, nonetheless, spoke about Nick Saban as being the best recruiter in the nation, a little bit of a jab, a little sarcasm, simply comparing his recruiting classes to the wins they had in South Carolina, finally breaking through a couple 11-win seasons, and Nick Saban didn't win one this year, unfortunately. He was a play away from going to the SEC title game, so... The thing about Alabama, I don't think you really want to poke that bear.
Right.
South Carolina, a lot of their success came from landing Jadeveon Clowney, first overall pick for the Houston Texans. Before then, they were an average seven, eight-win team, and Jadeveon Clowney comes in and they start moving upward. But you don't want to poke that bear. Nick Saban kind of waved it off, and he talked. The big story with him was mainly Florida State quarterback Jacob Coker decided to transfer after losing out to Jameis Winston, the Heisman winner from last year, and he has a chance to immediately start. Well, Nick Saban, of course, like the guy that brought him up in Bill Belichick, is going to keep everything close to the vest, and that's the one thing you have to know about Coach Saban. He's not gonna tell you anything. Blake Sims played not so great in the spring game, but they didn't do a lot of things that helped him do what he does best, which is he's more of a dual-threat quarterback, more of a I compare him a lot to what Nick Marshall is at Auburn. They want to run a lot of option game with him. He's not going to be the quarterback. Nick Saban already knows. You don't bring in a guy who challenged Jameis Winston. It was not. In any way, it was not a farce. It was a legitimate challenge. Jacob Coker has the talent. He has an NFL arm. He has NFL size. And he's going to be able – he's coming in with a lot of talent around him, Amari Cooper, Kenyon Drake, T.J. Yeldon, a superstar in the making tight end in O.J. Howard, a guy that Alabama doesn't really use their tight end a lot. Well, Nick Saban goes out and hires Lane Kiffin, the former USC coach. And those are a lot of the things that Alabama has to answer. And Nick Saban, of course, walked around every question, but those are some of the stories. That's the biggest storyline from the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Wow. Yeah, because, like I said, like you said, Spurrier is good to say something controversial every year, but it seemed like, you know, a few people were coming at other coaches and, you know, saying little sly remarks. I found all that to be interesting. So, you know, preliminary thoughts that you have on the upcoming college football season. What you got for us?
This year is going to be very different, mainly simply because it is the first year of the playoffs. And playoffs, it has so many different dynamics because you're not going to get it right the first time. Regardless if you have the perfect set of teams, somebody's going to feel like they've been left out. Because there's such a human element. The one thing the BCS did, it matched the number one and number two teams up, and it made the season meaningful because you had to win every single game. And you had to stay – you had to have a point margins of – margin of victory. It was something big, and then they took that out. And then they bring in strength of schedule. They're making teams have to play each other. And now when you have these big five conferences wanting to move out, this year is going to be integral in a lot of that as well. I see at least one SEC team getting in there. The SEC is kind of down as far as quarterback is concerned, but the defense has got better. As long as a lot of these SEC teams can keep their players out of jail, a la Georgia, after having seven players arrested since January, Auburn having a quarterback. Missouri kicking out their star wide receiver, Dorial Green-Beckham, who coincidentally goes out to Oklahoma after pushing a girl down. A lot of domestic things are going on, especially with women and also marijuana. And these SEC teams are going to have to really hone in on some of these players. But it's the main storyline is the Pac-12. The Pac-12 is going to be that conference that challenges the SEC. Because they are so deep. You have teams like Stanford, Oregon, Arizona State. You have teams like USC coming back. UCLA is a big-time power now. UCLA has Brett Hundley coming back for one more year. And with Noel Mazzoni as the offensive coordinator as well as their QB coach, Brett Hundley might actually be one of those guys you look out for as far as an NFL draft big-time quarterback.
Yeah, I got a question for you in reference to the strength of schedule. Now that there's more of an emphasis on the strength of schedule, will that make the season more exciting?
Going forward, I think it will. For the fan mainly, simply put, fans get tired of going out, and I've heard this over the years. Fans get tired of wanting to see their favorite teams every year. You're paying $100, $200, $300 to go see Alabama just kick Florida A&M's face in. You don't want to see that. You want to see Alabama play the teams like Wisconsin, Oregon, USC, which USC will be playing Alabama going forward. You want to see teams like Florida and Miami play every year, those old rivalry, Texas going out and playing USC. You want to see teams like that, the big boys, play each other. And that drives the fan bases together. It brings about rivalries, and overall, it's for the fan more so than anything. But it will have something to do with how teams are selected into this selection process going into the playoffs. And teams are going to have to actually play real out of conference teams, which I love it.
Yeah, it's funny because we talk about the SEC and now the Pac-12 and their impact. And our chat room is saying the SEC is all that matters. We run this.
that SEC, didn't they lose in the national title? Yeah, they did. The ACC.
What do you think about Nick Saban's comments that about the game where they Oklahoma killed him. He says, you know, that was really like a, you know, they weren't taking that game that serious anyway because it wasn't for the championship, right?
This is, that is comment number two after losing in an SEC title game. This happened a couple years back when Alabama lost to Utah of all teams, and they completely got obliterated in the bowl game. And Nick Saban and the players also said that. Talked to a couple players personally around that time, and it's been echoed. It's been echoed throughout the program. It is
so
true.
So what does that mean, like, for college sports, right? Because now you have this playoff and you have this four teams. It's like, is that all that matters at this point, is just getting to that four? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's becoming sort of like the great thing about college sports is how during the course of the season it seems as though every game matters. So it seems like it's more leeway to, like, you know, lose a couple games or what have you. As long as you can get into that four, nothing else matters anyway. The teams already look at it this way.
Well, the thing about having this playoff system, and you're going to still have to win every game. Every game will matter. And it's gonna be a lot more subjective. A team that has two losses can still get in because there's so much of a criteria. Who did they play? When did they play them? How did they lose to them? Was it at the end of a game like Alabama did when they lost to Auburn on a kick six? You're still gonna consider an Alabama team like that going forward because of a loss. We always talk about was it a good loss or a bad loss? Well, those kind of things will be taken into consideration. I personally don't like as much of a human element involved in it because there could be some favoritism. But when you have a group of people that they have employed to do this, I'm going to give them my trust for 1 year and going forward. They're on a one-year basis, year to year, to see, because fans and alumni and all of these other people are going to have to get used to this. This isn't going away. I do think it will go from 4 to 8 going forward, but it will take something crazy like 4 teams going undefeated and somebody, a 15 possibly losing a game in the wrong way and they feel like they should get in.
Hey, real quick, we have a comment for you in our chat room that FSU did win last year, but 7 out of 8 ain't bad last time they checked. also, another question from the chat room was Nick Saban and UT offering him $100 million. Was that true or was it a farce? What is your opinion of that? Because some people say that it was serious, but Nick got cold feet. What do you think about that?
Well, according to some of the folks I've talked to, it's very true. The thing about Texas, you have to look at, yes, they can offer you all of this money and all of these resources, but why would I go from coaching in the toughest conference in the country against the top competition, getting all the recruits, why should I have to go start over and go to another team that used to be good? Texas,
I can give you 100 million reasons why, Fred.
At Nick Saban's age, over the time, Nick Saban's made almost about that much. And Nick Saban's the highest paid coach in college football. He's making just about $6 million over every year. So why leave at his age? $100 million in your 60s? Not so sure. And you got to remember, Nick Saban's getting up there in age. Yes,
give me 100 million in my 80s. I'm taking it. word to Mellow. Cut the check.
Nick doesn't want to start over. I just.
I understand that. I mean, he's dug in, or what have you, but some coaches look for the challenge, and maybe that would have been a challenge to him, you know what I'm saying, in terms of going and building that. Because let's just say he did leave. Let's just hypothetically say he left and went to Texas and built them up into a national powerhouse. He would probably have to go down as the greatest college coach ever. Some already put him there. But you still got names that, like, you know, hover over, like the Bear Bryants or what have you, some of the legends of the game. But if he was to leave, go to Texas, make $100 million, and build him into a powerhouse, I mean, I don't know how you could deny him at that point.
Yeah.
Man,
definitely have
start
to
over my butt. I'd go start over. They could put me at Bethune-Cookman if they're going to pay me that much. I'll make them a powerhouse.
If Nick Saban decided to go to Texas.
You, Kevin, right, in our chat room, it says they can offer a coach $100 million. But Joe Recruit can't even get a Cadillac. That's a whole other day.
That was going to be my next point. And I've usually been on the other side of the fence with this, the college football players being paid in some way. But with all of the TV contracts, and if Nick Saban can get $100 million, you can do a little something extra for these players. I don't want them paid like NFL players. No way. But you can make their lives a little bit easier.
Give them some extra money on their food card or something. You know what I'm saying? Give them, you know what I mean? Do something for them. But I get your point, though. Anyway, man, those are the questions.
Tattoo gift certificate.
Tattoo gift certificate. I mean, some free Joe's Crab Shack or something, man. Some crabs. You got to keep the crabs.
You got to keep Jameis Winston out there, and you got to keep the crabs.
Fred, though, man, it's great having you back. We look forward to more of your analysis in the upcoming weeks. It's almost football time. I got to get back on Field Vision and talk about your Patriots, you know, and how they're not going to do anything this year. So welcome back, man.
I'm going to keep my comments to myself today.
Oh, okay. Can't even get no slander out of you.
Tell everybody where they can find you online and on Twitter and everything.
You guys can reach me on Twitter at FProduceSports and at HeavyInTheGames.com. Going back, site's going back up. A lot of great content. Just stay tuned.
All right, man. Good having you back.
All right, thanks, guys. Fred. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take it easy.
That's Fred Perdue, everybody, of Heavy in the Games. Before we move on, you want to go to the line real quick? We got Tobias calling our way from Arizona. Roll Tide.
I know what it is. Roll Tide. Tobias,
right,
what's going on?
What's going on? Right, two quick points real quick. First, I don't know if y'all posted it. I put it on y'all page, and I thought about something. Everybody wants LeBron to have a super team now, but everyone's mad that he had a super team in Miami. You remember the owners almost hijacked the season? Everybody's mad. The media's mad. LeBron Nadi saying, hey, we could give him Andrew Wiggins. We could give him Anthony Bennett, who did jack squat last year, and that's a great deal.
Listen, man, there's been a paradigm shift in the thinking of most fans and people. This is the new NBA, man. The NBA has changed, man. Not that we got to like it, but if this is what it is, you're going to see this every year. Now, every year, the best players are going to see, well, we got to get them some help. We need some more stars in their team.
I think the difference in this one, Tobias, is the fact that these teams are trying to make trades. Now, if a trade doesn't go down and Minnesota just loses Kevin Love for nothing next year and he goes to Cleveland and teams up with LeBron, I think they'll have those same type of feelings. But if you can get something out of the deal, hell yeah, you're going to be a hypocrite. I said yes, but you're going to give me a bunch of people.
I don't think that if that happens, it won't be the same because it's going to be like, well, he's staying in Cleveland. He's bringing him to Cleveland. Let's just say the big three scenario happened, but it wasn't LeBron going to Miami and those two guys came to Cleveland. Although people would have been pissed, I don't think it would have been the same.
It wouldn't have been the same on LeBron. I mean, he would have got a little bit of it just for being a part of the dudes in cahoots teaming up, but generally, the dudes that are going to move teams that are superstars that are going to move to somebody else's team and play under them, they're going to get the brunt of the trash talk because you look like the biggest lackey, the biggest coward. Like, are you going to go play with this dude's team? In that case, I mean, 4 years later, you can tell it wasn't really about whose team it was. But it's like, look, if we're going to do this, we're going to do this in the best location we possibly can. And Miami versus Toronto versus Cleveland, you do the math.
It kills me, though. They're making it like the package. Now, I think Wiggins is going to be a good player. But they're making it like now Anthony Bennett's a big trade chip when the guy was like the notorious DMP last year. The guy barely played last year. Now, he was a number one pick last year. Hey, hype him up. And Minnesota rightfully saying, screw you. This is not a good deal. They should go to Golden State and get a Golden State package. I got a question about football real quick. All right.
Yes.
Poor Tony Dungy. Poor Tony Dungy taking a beating, you know. But, I've seen all these guys. The dog lovers talking about Michael Vick. And my thing is, if I was playing on Michael Vick's team and came back to the Eagles, if I called Michael Vick the scum of the earth, what he did was deplorable, and I really wouldn't want to play with him, would I be in fear of losing my job? No. Would I have to go on the radio circuit and clarify my statements? No. But all Tony Dungy did was give them an honest answer, as respectfully as he could. But he still took a beat, and I say this real quick. If Jadeveon Clowney was a gay player that came out, it won't be an issue because the talent will outweigh the possible questions.
Exactly.
You don't want to go to training camp and someone keep asking the third-string long snapper, hey, what do you think of this gay player? It's like they're trying to find someone who says something they don't want to hear, and they cause a storm. If you want to help Michael Sam out, quit asking everybody.
Stop making him a distraction and let him play. Let him prove himself like he says he wants to do. So, yeah, I feel exactly what you're saying. And when they try to make the comparison about, yeah, well, Tony helped, you know, he got Michael Vick's back, and he didn't say that about him, and he was a distraction. But that was the whole point. He was weighing the distraction versus what the rewards could possibly be. Michael Vick, you know, as much as I don't think he's that great of a quarterback, is seen by a lot of people as a franchise quarterback. So the Eagles had a chance to get, you know, not in franchise form, but a good quarterback who ended up being their starter for a few years after he came there versus an unknown who was drafted in the seventh round. So it's just, you're just weighing the possible rewards against everything you have to go through. And I do, I think that was his point. But, you know, I agree with the stuff Jimmy said as well. You still have to know the situation and who you're talking about and know the sensitivities of the groups that feel that they're vested in this some way. So slippery
hey,
slope
hey, y'all,
when we
y'all
talk
know
about
what,
that Michael Sam. Slippery slope.
Hey, you know what, though? I'll say this when you got other people. The person who should be the most upset about this, C.J. Mosley, Alabama. He shared defensive player of the year with Michael Sam, and no one ever says C.J. Mosley, SEC defensive player of the year. It's like they forgot he shared the award.
Because he's straight.
Listen, man, in today's society is all about brand and your story. Whatever story can sell the most. C.J. Mosley, what's his story? Okay, well, let's go with this story. It's all about the story, man. Pay attention to the story. Yo, what do you think about your Tide taking bowl games soft, yo?
Oh, it happened against Utah. Because I remember that game. You know, not too many times I watch my team lose and I got a kick in the gut. When they lost to Florida that year, that kind of hurt. And as a fan.
But how do you feel as a big-time fan when you know that your team is not giving it their all if they're not playing for the ultimate goal? Like, how does that make you feel as a huge fan of the team?
It's a double-edged sword because I put myself in their shoes. I can understand. I don't like it, especially the idiots who pay $1,000 to go to a meaningless Sugar Bowl game. You know, I would be upset to give a max effort, but I'm going to be honest, Alabama just got beat that game. That Trevor Knight kid challenged Anna Steven Garcia and played the best game of his life. You remember that guy from South Carolina who did squat his whole career? He played Alabama that one game, the game of his life, and after that game he did squat. And I say this, Oklahoma will be that team who got too high expectations because of a bowl game and a one bowl win. Now let's see if this quarterback could do it all year next year when the cameras are on him now. That's the thing no one's talking about.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. All right, I just wanted to get your opinion on that. That's one of the topics we talked about, man. Tobias, but thanks for your call as always, man. Check in with us next week. Maybe your Chicago Bulls will have done something by then, or, you know, we'll get into the news next week.
Lord, I hope so. y'all take
right,
it
man.
Easy.
All right, Tobias, take it easy. Fred Perdue, I know you're still listening, as well as those in the chat room. We did get a question on Twitter. I can't answer this one. Will Dorial Beckham play this season? Whether he will or not, I don't know the answer, but maybe Fred Perdue, maybe you can chime in our chat room or hit us on Twitter and let us know, will he play this season? He's a wide receiver at Oklahoma, but people want to know, will he play this season? You know what I'm saying? Anyway, but thanks to Brian for calling in. It's time to move on in a second, though. Dev, you want to tell people how they can get in touch with us while I screen this?
No doubt, everybody, like we always tell you, you can check out the website, warroomsports.com. If you want to call in and speak with us about any of today's topics, just dial the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline, 323-410-0012. Just press 1 when prompted. If you already happen to be listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. All right, so we're going to get into some football talk here.
You already know it's time for the NFL rap. You can now hear our show, The War Room, on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer, your iPhone, your Android phone, BlackBerry or Palm phone. If you happen to have a BlackBerry or Palm phone, you have bigger issues and go to the roof of your home and jump off. With that being said, the latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed and no memory or storage wasted. Downloading is easy. Click on the Stitcher logo on our website, which is warroomsports.com. And remember, enter the promo code THEWARROOM. That's one word, THEWARROOM. It'll enter you into a contest where you can win a bunch of cash, man, millions and millions of money. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. It's time to talk football.
Haven't heard this in a long time.
Yeah, how about that? Listen, man, I know that there's a lot of off-the-field stuff going on. One of the bigger stories is Ray Rice. He's been suspended for 2 games for Roy Jones Jr. and his chick. So my question to you is, what is the impact that this will have on his team as well as him and his career? I'm going to go screen that. But, yeah, what do you think impact will be?
Well, he's a running back. So his career, as far as his prime is concerned, I would already say he's probably hit the peak and is probably on his decline. But as far as the impact that this has on the Baltimore Ravens, he's suspended for the first 2 games, and they play in that span. I believe they play the Pittsburgh Steelers and I think the Cincinnati Bengals. So the impact of his absence can be, you know, if they can't get it together and be competitive enough to win in either one of these games while he's not there, you know, that could put them in an early hole, being as though both of those first 2 games are against division rivals. And, you know, no matter how bad you do outside of the division, you at least want to have a good division record, because if it comes down to tiebreakers and everything, then you have that on your side. Now, with that said, you know, I'm not sure. I mean, Ray Rice has always been a high-impact guy on that Baltimore Ravens team, but it seems like the past 2 years or so, with Flacco getting this big money, it seems like he's being phased out of the offense more and
Yo,
more.
That was my comment on this whole situation. We complain all the time that he doesn't get the ball enough anyway, and they love what's my man from Temple, Pierce? He's getting a lot of carries now, and they're letting Flacco go out there and wing it 40 times a game. Like, they're going away from what we consider Baltimore Raven football. So, you know, I don't know how this will affect them.
So it's like, if they continue that trend, it would be easier for them to game plan without Ray Rice anyway. So the impact could be great if he was going to, you know, be back to his normal role in the offense. But if that trend continued, you know, he might not have had that much of a – well, I'm not going to say not that much of a role, but he may have had a decreased role in the first place. So they might be okay without him, or they might just suck altogether and lose those games anyway. But
I think that it must be something else with this story, too, because they had a chance to hang a black man and he kind of got off, you know. So it must be something else in the story.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people complaining, saying, you know, you get more for smoking marijuana than you do for, you know, beating your chick unconscious. So, I mean, there's a lot to be said about that, but, you know, that's
there must be more to the story, man, that we don't know. He always said there's more to the story, so, you know, it must be, man. We definitely have a call on the line we want to get to. It's the homie Naj. Naj has been holding it down in the chat room, and he seems knowledgeable about every sport. He's talking about every sport with us. So what's good, Naj? How are you?
Hey, we good, man. As long as you guys don't bring up hockey or soccer, man, we good.
I heard that. You sound like me, good brother. You sound like me.
We bring in experts for that.
Yeah, no doubt.
No doubt. That's the way to handle it, bro.
Let's ask you a question,
well,
though.
If I can weigh in on this Ray Rice real quick.
Go ahead.
Okay, this is a good display of how bad Roger Goodell is at times. The fact that he would do 2 games is real short-sighted. I think the NFL is looking at it from the perspective of, we want to keep this as low as possible, just because we don't want this story to become bigger than what it is because it's such a terrible story with video evidence. Now, it's going to come back to bite them later on because the biggest demographic growing in NFL is women sports fans. That's why they do the whole pink cleats and all of that stuff. Now, if you want to believe it's because they care so much about breast cancer, you go ahead. But women's sports fans are watching football now, and some of those women's groups are going to come out heavy on this issue. And I really think they made a mistake on this one, man. They should have gone harder.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. I definitely agree, and I've read the statistics that show that that is the biggest demographic growing is the female fan. So, you know, interested to see where this whole thing goes and how it plays out. Who's your squad now? Who's your football team, man?
Oh, man, I'm a Chicago Bears fan, but I'm in Atlanta, so I side with both somewhat just because I have to watch so much Falcons football.
It's the local team and your favorite team. I get it.
Yeah. So I have no expectations for the Bears. They gave Jay Cutler all that money, so it is what it is. We're going to be mediocre next 5 years.
See, that,
I don't expect much.
That methodology, though, it depends on what city you're in and what fan base you're around. Because I'm a displaced, you know, I'm from Philadelphia, but I live in the Washington, D.C. area, and I don't have those same, you know, feelings of niceness like you do because Washington fans, Washington fans make you not like the team, you know what I'm saying? So,
right.
So I can see in Atlanta, like, you know, Atlanta has a lot of people that aren't from there, so it's not a lot of...
It's like Nodge moving to, like, Green Bay, Wisconsin, and,
yeah, it'd be different. He probably would hate them.
And that's a little different, you know what I'm saying? Although I don't know any black people that live in Green Bay other than the players, but that's a whole other story.
Right.
This is the thing, though.
My biggest issue is I don't like the structure of the last CBA. I don't like the way teams are creating their teams. So just like Flacco and Matt Ryan and everybody else, if you're going to give the quarterback – 35% of the cap and then build your team and hope it works out, it just doesn't sound like smart building. So what Seattle and San Fran are doing where they have these guys on value contracts but they were able to upgrade the talent everywhere else, that looks like the smart thing to do. So
right.
I just have a hard time watching them overpay quarterbacks who can't get you over the hump by themselves. This is not basketball. You know what I mean?
Baltimore is a prime example of that because ever since the Super Bowl and they decided to, you know, back up the Brinks truck to Flacco's house, they've kind of been on the decline. So depending on what they do this year will tell us, you know, if that's an aberration or if it's just a trend with Baltimore and they're definitely on the decline. So
this is absolutely true, man. I mean, it's one of those things where in football, you know, it's monkey see, monkey do. And then when someone else comes up with something different, everybody else will follow along with that as well.
Right. And it forces your GM to hit on every late pick. Because if you don't hit on every late pick, then you won't be able to afford the free agents, and you'll have a team with no depth like the Falcons had last year, to where we had a couple of injuries, and I'm saying we had a couple of injuries, and the season was over. You know what I'm saying? And so many teams are going to face that now.
Yeah, pretty much, and that's what it's going to be. It's going to be some ugly football. But then I think the NFL kind of likes that anyway because let's say the Falcons bounce back this year. You have that semblance of parity where injury could change the whole season and you'll have somebody in the playoffs that doesn't belong there. But, you know, the cream always rises. Nodge, man, but thanks for your call, man. Definitely check in with us. And if you're on, I don't know what social media is your favorite one, but we're on all of them, man. So, you know, you seem knowledgeable. So check in with us, man.
All right, man, we'll do.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks, homie.
Yep.
Yeah, man. So he's right about that in terms of the GMs having to hit on the late picks and then you have players getting in trouble off the field because, like we said, Ray Rice and his thing, and now we have Lane Johnson suspended 4 games for violating the PED policy with the Eagles.
Man, which will be a bigger loss than people are, you know, realizing.
Yeah, you are an Eagles fan, so how do you take this one?
Yeah. I mean, it's very disappointing because, of course, after a down year with a lot of injuries on the offensive line, you know, last season the line had started to come back and look like, you know, the offensive line that you're used to seeing in Philly. Lane Johnson coming into his second year was most likely coming in a little more confident. But now you have to worry about who's going to possibly replace him. And the Alan Barbary at right tackle might be the answer. He was the one who played left tackle when Jason Peters was out last season. Then you also have Todd Harriman, the guard, who can slide to that tackle spot. So, I mean, it's probably going to be mix and match during the preseason. I would say that Alan Barbary was probably start out as the guy and it will be his spot to lose, but you're just disappointed as a fan that you even have to go through this situation in the first place. And supposedly,
yeah,
you know, he took a prescription drug that he didn't know. I still don't understand how this happens every time where these cats supposedly take medicine and they don't check to see if it's on the ban list. You know that your job is predicated on, you know, certain things not going in your body.
Trusting their doctors, and the doctors are making mistakes.
And the doctors don't even know. Doctors don't even care half the time. They just want to give you something that's going to make you better, and you just take it.
Yeah, yo, that's crazy, man. But I'm one of these people, and, you know, I've said it on the show several times. I don't even care if he was taking PEDs. I just don't care. Like, I really don't. My thing is, this is entertainment for me. If you're willing, we got the same actual comment in the chat room. Naj, again, shout out to him. He says, when are we as football fans going to admit we don't care if they use PEDs? I'm with them. I've always been there. I mean,
Vince McMahon need to run the NFL.
I know this isn't sports related, right? But watch what I do there, right? Now, I know that a lot of people listening have seen the Nicki Minaj picture that leaked today, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know
they don't care about them.
Right?
Yeah. All
right. Here's the thing. Right? Where I'm going with this is that I know there was some photoshopping going on there, but I still enjoyed it. I don't care. No. If football players can't use PEDs, then models can't use Photoshop. I mean,
That's like women who always, have something negative to say about other women who get breast implants, and they say, "You want her? You know, her boobs fake. They're fake." I don't care. Like, it's not my problem. They look nice.
Yo, you got some big fake cans. Cans are cans. Listen, man. My thing is this, man. Like, let them do it. Because at the end of the day, the science is there. We know what happens. What kind of things result from long uses of those things. And some of that is exaggerated too. I remember when Nancy Reagan had her thing, going back to the Reagans again. Smoking marijuana, like, you know, made you, like, steal from your family and all that craziness. So they put out whatever they want to put out in terms of what the long-term use is. It's all BS. But if you want to take that risk anyway just to entertain me, God bless you. Go ahead and do it, man. So,
your body.
Free Lane Johnson. Yeah, I mean, free Lane Johnson, yo. That's all I'm saying, man. It's a disgrace, man. Free him, yo. Anyway, the can get right cats, yo. This one guy, he's in so much. He seems to always be a nomination for our Boardroom Sports JoJo Award, and that's Josh Gordon. He's appealing his 1-year suspension. What do you think, Willis Stan?
I don't know. I mean, the problem with him, I would say no. I would say it's going to get reduced. But like you just said, like, he's one of the can't-get-right crew. Like, he keeps getting in trouble. So, you know, you keep testing these dudes. I don't know. The only reason that I'm thinking that there's a possibility that it'll get reduced because all the talk is going around, you know, that Josh Gordon has a serious problem. This shouldn't be a guy that the Cleveland Browns or the league should give up on. So I'm thinking if anybody in there has a little bit of compassion for the situation, then maybe they'll allow him to do this in an attempt to keep him out of further trouble. However, you know, Roger Goodell and the fellas haven't really proven that compassion is their forte, I guess, unless it comes to, you know, beating on your chick. But I don't know. It's difficult to call, man. But, I mean, it's always worth a shot. I mean, you have to appeal when something
goes down. Leroy in our chat room says, Ray got reduced, so Josh will get reduced. His prediction is 8 games. But like you also said, Gordon is he's an habitual line crosser, yo. I don't know trouble Ray has gotten to in the past, but no one's gotten into more trouble than Josh Gordon. He's out of control, yo.
Kind of like Justin Blackmon, who's gotten
alone.
Arrested
Justin
for his
Blackmon.
Third time. Yeah.
Yo, listen to this one, though. he was already suspended indefinitely and got arrested again for weed possession.
So he doesn't even have a set sentence. And he's still getting in trouble. You didn't even get sentenced yet. You didn't even hear what your bid is going to be. And
you're already out indefinitely, right? If you get knocked again, like, come on, cuz. First of all, you're real stupid. You know what I'm saying? And then, like, I guess it's one of those things where everybody thinks, like, nothing will happen to them. Like, it ain't going to happen to me. So, but it will happen to you. Like, you're a target now. You got to chill, man. And you definitely have to hear this. You're definitely a nominee.
You should be ashamed of yourself. The way you carry yourself.
It's just always amazing. It's always amazing to me how they get caught. You know, because it's like, okay, if you have a habit and you're going to keep smoking weed, then look, man, by all means, do what you got to do. But nobody seems to do anything to try to hide it. Like, you're a young black dude. Of course, a lot of these guys drive really nice automobiles. And then they drive in a way that attracts attention. So most of the time they get caught, just like Justin Blackmon did, is because he got pulled over. After you got pulled over for doing something in traffic, you know, they smell marijuana. And my question is, if you're going to smoke, why are you smoking in the car? And then take it a step farther, if you're going to smoke in the car, why are you going to speed? Or why are you going to, be changing lanes, just doing anything to bring attention to yourself?
Yo,
but we shouldn't
have
got past the first question. Why are you smoking in the car? Go
smoke in the car.
Smoking
in the car, yo.
Yeah,
the good thing is he plays for the Jags, and it's not like they're going to light the world on fire, go to the playoffs anytime soon.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
But the thing about it is this, though, and I honestly believe what I'm getting ready to say, and people will think I'm crazy. I think a lot of young guys don't even recognize weed as being illegal, yo. I see people literally...
Better get picked up by the Broncos.
On the bus stop, like, yo, rolling up, like, weed, put it there to walk around the city. I'm not talking about in the hood. I'm talking about, like, and sometimes in center city districts, and I've seen it in multiple cities. Like, people carry weed around. Like, and I understand the momentum that's going with the movement to legalize marijuana. Shout out to Peter Tosh, legalize it. But at the end of the day, it's not there yet. And I think some people don't even recognize that. They just walk around and with weed, like, you know, sick of weed. They walk around with sick of weed, like, they treat it like it's Newport. It's like, yo, it's still illegal. And I think a lot of NFL players, like, but you also have to understand, like we talked about with Dungy, your position, what you do for a living, and how this looks if you get caught. Every day Joe Schmo going to work is caught is one thing, but it's a big story because, especially when you're a habitual line crosser, you know what I mean? So
And I would also venture to say in some of these quote-unquote traffic violations, they probably are getting pulled over for DWBs. You know, everybody know what that
means. Absolutely.
You know, we've all been there. But if you know that that's a possibility, and you know that it's a stronger possibility with you because, you know, a lot of you guys are riding around in, you know, $100,000 cars and more, then why are you smoking in the car, man? That's my question for dude. Why are you smoking in the car?
Did some of y'all be playing y'all music all out like your man was? It got, like, all kinds of noise violations. Who's the boy
like
name for the Eagles? CJ's homie.
I know. I'm about the offensive lineman.
I was about to say, Jason Peters.
Jason Peters, yeah. Jason Peters.
My man got $1 million system in his car playing his music loud as hell. He's straight getting arrested
for noise
violations.
Nobody's going to notice that. Yeah, nobody's going
to
notice
that. Y'all out of control, man. Y'all are out of control, man. Word to Willie Lynch. Yo,
like they riding around with signs on the back of their cars that say marijuana on board. Like, you drawing.
Yo, let's talk about this real quick. Jaws. You know, Jaws starts controversy every year when he gives his top 10 quarterback. You know what I'm saying? Manning, Brady, Rogers, Breeze, Luck, Ben Roethlisberger, a.k.a. Don't Say Nothing, Just Give It Here, Phillip Rivers, Matt Ryan, Flacco, and Wilson. What was your biggest problem with this list, if any?
Let me tell you this first. Of course, we posted this on our Facebook page. Facebook.com/WarRoomSports. And it got a lot of comments. Fans are mad, but it's just funny when you read the comments and then you kind of click on people's profile and then you realize that the dude they were arguing for, they're a fan of that team. So every next comment was a homer comment.
Everybody has their agenda.
Yeah, because I'm like, okay, dude made an all right point, and then you click on it, and then he got the dude's jersey on in his profile picture. Like, and then they lose all credibility. Like, dog, you would have said that whether dude was poo-poo on the field or if he was Peyton Manning on the field. The list for me, like, because I don't really watch these shows, like the First Takes and all the stuff where Jaws goes and talks. So I don't know what his criteria is. I don't know if it's supposed to be, you know, based on last season or is it just the 10 guys that he feels the best in the league right now?
He's coming into
that
season.
See,
because remember last year he got a lot of criticism for a lot of the young guys he had. And his point was, it's not based on their body of work. It's based on right now coming into this season.
Yeah, now for me, like, I would base it not really on their body of work, but the fact that I still think some of these guys with the body of work are better than some of these other guys. Like, I'm one of those guys where it's not your whole body of work, but if you have one good season or one great season, I still need to see more before I throw you on this list. I'm not going to really, you know, I'm not going to, as an Eagles fan, I'm not going to be advocating for them to put Nick Foles on this list because he had such a good season in his limited
all
play
right,
last
when you
season.
Say
that's
ludicrous. When you say that, who specifically are you speaking of?
I think Matt Ryan has regressed. Remember, I've always had questions about Matt Ryan in the first place.
Matty Ice.
Not really sure if Matty Ice is a top 10 quarterback.
I mean, he lost one of his targets, too.
I know for a fact that Super Bowl champion Russell Wilson is not a top 10 quarterback in this league. Like, when you talk about Russell Wilson, you could talk about other quarterbacks who've been in the league 2 and 3 years that I'd take. Like, I'd take Cam Newton over Russell Wilson. Now, I'm not looking. See, I'm not going top 10 right now. I'm just saying people that, like, I would look at him before I looked at Russell Wilson to be in this. I'm not necessarily saying that Cam is even top 10 at this point, but I think he has a better case of being on this list than Russell Wilson. But, of course, you win a Super Bowl, people are going to overrate everything you do anyway, even though they were up 90 points in that Super Bowl before he even threw his first 50 yards, but that's another
basically
story.
What you're saying is that you're saying that Russell Wilson. Yeah.
Well, we don't believe you. We need more people.
Russell needs more people. Joe, probably the last three. Put it that way. The last three. Roethlisberger, to me, is kind of on the decline, but I can still see a case for him being made in the top 10. Now, you know, years past, I would have always put Eli Manning somewhere in that second five. But
that's
it's
what
hard
I'm
to
ask.
Justify
I was gonna ask
that.
You, would you take Eli over Matt Ryan, Russell Wilson, or Flacco? Would you rather have Eli?
I would. I would take him. But then that's when you're going to start to argue, well, you're arguing about his body of work. Because if you talk about what Eli Manning did last year, he was poo-poo. So... This whole thing is difficult. That's why I'm like, look, Jaws, you got that. Let everybody curse at you because this is difficult to do. I think the first four, of course, is not much arguing with that besides maybe, you know, flipping Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. You know, some people may flip Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning. It's difficult to do after the season he had last year. But I would probably go Manning 1, Rodgers 2, probably Breeze 3, Brady 4. Philip Rivers was back, as you kept saying last season. What'd you say? He went from top 10 to not mention at all, and then
top 10 not mention at all. That was his Stillmatic season last year, yo.
Yeah,
definitely
he got back in the game last season. So I think Philip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger, Andrew Luck. You might be able to flip them around. Luck doesn't necessarily have to be number five, but the last three, you know, I think they could be replaced.
Yo, it's a couple of things I find interesting is that there were still people arguing that Cornball Brother should have been up here even after the terrible season he had last year.
Did you click on their profiles? You know what they
Of course they're Redskins fans. You already know that. And the other thing
I
was
even,
the
I just
argument,
ignored those comments, man. Like, you can't
the
be
The biggest
serious.
Argument I've seen was the whole Eli. A lot of people thought that Eli was
a play. Now do you see why? These bitches calling me Manning Eli.
You know what, man? When you
Mickey
go Matt Ryan, Russell Wilson, picture. Joe Flacco, I might take Tony Romo over them dudes.
Ooh.
Personally, I might take Tony Romo over them dudes. You know, every time I give Romo a compliment, he throws a bad pick, so he probably just
threw
a pick in training camp.
He might want to practice right now. Yeah.
Just
compliment.
He threw a pick in training camp because I gave him a compliment. Yeah,
anytime Dad tried to defend him, he'd do something that's, like, indefensible. So,
yeah.
You know, shout out to Tony Romo, who probably just turned the ball over and You know what I mean? With that being said, man, we got a couple minutes left. Let me ask you a question about this, though. In terms of this upcoming season, like it's getting down, it's almost there. What are you looking forward to the most?
As a homer, of course, I want to see if what Chip Kelly did with the Eagles offense last year, I want to see if that's real. Is it real or is it one of those things where, okay, people have a year of film on that. They have, defensive coordinators have spent enough time where they can catch up to that. I don't expect people to just flat out stop what they're doing because they still have talent on that side of the ball. But it may not look as easy as it did for at least the first half of last season because, you know, it didn't look, you know, they came out blazing against Washington in the opener. And, of course, by the end of the season, it didn't look as great as it did that evening, but they still put up points and put up enough points to be able to win week in and week out as long as they got something from the defense. So I want to see if that's real. Being in the D.C. area, I want to see if Robert Griffin III bounces back or because they've already said they're not going to run a lot of running plays for him. So, you know, he's going to have to prove his worth more so as a passer this season, which I thought he had the opportunity to prove last year since, you know, he had the brace on and they didn't really want him to run that much and he didn't want to run that much. I looked at them saying that the Redskins struggled so much because of his injury. I kind of looked at that as an excuse because when he was drafted, all we heard was he's not a running quarterback. He's a pocket pack. He's a, you know, a throwing quarterback that can run. So I thought last year was his greatest opportunity to prove that. So, you know, I want to see if he bounces back off of that.
Yeah, you know, new coaches and all that. There's a lot of great storylines. Leroy in the chat room says, Johnny Football, Clowney, the San Fran, Seattle, rivalry, and the Cowboys will tank the season. That whole division is getting interesting, even when you look at the Rams and what they're doing and the Cardinals as well.
Yeah.
Which
and actually,
is amazing
we're going to talk to Shane Gray, who covers the Rams. We're going to talk to him next week from Rams camp.
Yeah. It's amazing. We started our show years ago. That was the worst division in football by far, and now it's probably the best. So that's definitely amazing. For me, I'm not going to lie, being a Denver Broncos fan, this will be one of the more difficult seasons because how can you play any better than you did last year's regular season? So the regular season honestly means nothing at all. That's the most difficult part about getting waxed in the bowl the way we did is the fact that the next year, the regular season is going to be like, eh. And I say that. Let him get on the roll. I'm going to be talking trash and slandering every Raiders fan I know. Stop you, Kevin, because you know you will be hearing me talk trash. So I'm looking forward to that. And as a gentleman who unapologetically roots for African-American quarterbacks, I want to see if Cam Newton gets any better with the various weapons he has now. And also what you just said, RG3, I want to see whether he bounces back at all. I'm just looking forward to it. I'm a huge football fan all around, so I'm definitely ready for some football, man. But it's time for us to get out of here, good brother. Thanks for everybody who joined us today, those that call in, everybody in the chat room, Facebook, Twitter. We appreciate all the support. Listen, we love all you. Special thanks to Fred Perdue for joining us to talk college football. As you know, football's time is coming around. We got a college football expert on. Tune in next week. Same time, same place, right here on demand on the War Room Sports Podcast Network. For some more great sports talk. Next week we'll have Shane Gray, who covers the St. Louis Rams. He'll be on the War Room to talk about the Rams camp, as well as expectations for the upcoming season as our NFL training camp coverage continues. So until then, enjoy your week. We'll see you right back here. Catch all of our conversations
on Facebook and Twitter at War Room Sports, Instagram at War Room Sports. Our videos, warroomsportstv.com. And also, we have our own podcast network with our show as well as many others. That's WRSPN.com. Until next time, everybody, don't accept mediocrity. Be steadfast in the war against ignorance, and we'll see you chumps on top.
Know the blueprint. Yo, every Thursday, 6 to 8, they do this. Shout out to Dez, PJ, B. Austin, Doc Bay on replay. WarRoomSports.com. Get that mobile app. If not, dial. Call it 323-0012. If you're going and you sensitive, then oh well.
Yeah.
Physical podcast, let's talk sports. Showtime like magic in the block push.
Magic.
Listen live, push one to join in. Rip your team or listen for your enjoyment. Hip-hop dollars, pit stop and knowledge. Should be in sports credits, I ain't talking college. Five guys, no beef though. Sports are a secret, but the streets know. Belafonte, I got a G-flow. KC, royalty, I'm in beast mode. 2 hours, get your game up. Who's the best in sports cast? You better name us.
War Room Sports.
War Room Sports, www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.